Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When I stepped into the large gallery at the Southern Vermont Arts Center in Manchester last week, painter Kate Gridley was looking at a little device that measures humidity. She was putting the finishing touches on her new exhibit, Passing Through, Portraits of Emerging Adults. The room was too humid and the oil canvases were wrinkling. But the climate control was kicking in and slowly but surely the paintings were straightening out. Each of the 17 paintings are accompanied by sound portraits that visitors can access through their cell phones. And Gridley described the exhibit further as she showed me around.
The room we are in, I would say the space is at least 30 feet by 30 feet. The walls are a pale green, and about every 36 inches there is a canvas. And the canvases are 5 feet tall, 30 inches wide, and on each canvas there is a over life size, very realistic painting in oil of a young person who is somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25. Each subject in here, when they came in to pose for me, I asked them to choose what they would wear, and their clothes will tell you a lot about them. They asked me if they should dress up, and I said, absolutely not. I wanted them to wear clothes that they were really comfortable in. So I said, you can come in your pajamas. It doesn't matter to me. But clothes do reveal something about the person that they drape. And on some level, the choice of jewelry or necktie or hair ornament or scarf or symbolic t-shirt, those become attributes of the person who is wearing them.
Well, in that case, why don't you tell me about this young man who is wearing a sports coat and khaki pants, and his hair is dyed. He looks like he might be sort of half blonde, half dark hair, but then he's got these nice pink streaks in his hair.
Well, he is a very interesting young man. His name is Tim, and he is, in my mind, a musical prodigy. At the time he was modeling for me, he was very interested in conducting. He is a young man who plays the piano, the bassoon, the flute, the electric guitar. He is also a composer. He has been commissioned to write music for the Vermont Symphony Orchestra, the Vermont Youth Orchestra. And during his photo shoot, I said, let's talk about what it is that you, with your composer lens, you know, listen to as you observe the world. I observe the world visually. He observes the world through his ears.
Composers are just being influenced by everything because it's just what they're listening to, and you can't help but hear just everything. You know, we have music playing all the time. Wherever we are, there's music playing, and we're just kind of saturated with the sound, and so that all influences what you do because it's all the input. It's going to come out somehow. Jackhammer, I mean, it could be a wooga, siren, laughing sound, water running. It can be a saw wave. It can be a square wave. It could be a wobble, whatever you want, you know? And yeah, we just kind of try and extract these different elements from the world, and I guess that's what art is.
And so he was talking about music, and he was talking about conducting and conveying a sense of music. And what I hope is happening in this portrait is that you can feel him moving as if he were conducting. His hands are about to move, but he's not actually looking at the viewer. He's one of two paintings out of 17 where he's not engaging the viewer directly. But I hope that you have a sense that he's listening and that he's thinking about what he's hearing. Now, why the jacket? At that time when he was performing, he used to dress a little more formally, and he used to wear a more formal shirt. That's not the case anymore. He now wears t-shirts with big, bright patterns on them, and he has a shaved head, and he has a beard. The pink hair was a time that he went through when he was dyeing his hair different colors. He was trying on different persona, I think. And when he came in for a visit one day, he had this bright, bright pink hair. And I said, Tim, that's the hair I want. Because I feel like he has a pretty powerful brain. And for me, it was like a fire in his head.
Well, and that's also part of the point of this exhibit, isn't it? That these are all people in transition trying to figure out who they are at that age where everybody's trying to figure out, who am I, what do I want to be, and what do I want to look like?
It's true. And what's really interesting is if you think about the dichotomy between the fact that most people in this group are posting photographs of themselves, selfies, you know, on Facebook or Instagram or other social networking media. And yet these are oil portraits. These are salon-size oil portraits of a generation that most of the time are not depicted in salon-style oil portraits. It's just not done. It was done a long time ago.
When there was no pink hair.
When there was no pink hair, but they wore really elaborate costumes, think about it. And generally, those paintings would have been only commissioned by families of upper socioeconomic bracket.
And that's not the case with these subjects?
Oh, no. In this 17, which granted, it's not meant to be an overall slice of the world, not by any means. These are 17 young people who happen to come through my life. But there is every socioeconomic bracket inside this group. There is a ninth generation Vermonter. There is also the young man who was, when my children were growing up, our Fresh Air Fund child from New York City. It also happens that my two sons are in this group. And originally, I was not going to include them, but in fact, they are the gateway to most of the young people who are in the show. They were their friends, or there's another young man whom we hosted who came to us for his junior year in high school from Germany through AFS. At another point, we hosted a Middlebury College student from Botswana, and when he arrived in this country for 4 years of higher education, he wasn't going home. And so he had a home to come to for Christmas or Thanksgiving if he didn't get a better invitation.
You want to tell us about another one? You want to pick it?
Well, let's talk about the ninth generation Vermonter, whose name is Caleb. And he is depicted here. He's got his hands up as if he's pushing the sort of through a door, which happens to be the opening of the canvas. And he has a T-shirt on that says, "Music is my life." And he's got a wonderful, huge, fluorescent pink earring in his ear and a telephone cord necklace around his neck. And then he has a wonderful baseball cap on. And the thing about Caleb is he is interested in poetry. He represented Vermont in the national poetry competition. He's interested in slam poetry and rap music. And so in his sound portrait, he talks about where he gets his ideas and how he writes his poems. And it's pretty interesting. He's very down to earth. At the time he modeled for me, he wasn't sure he wanted to go to college. And about 6 months later, he decided he would go, and he went out to Otterbein in Ohio, where he's majored in things to do with film and radio and sound and theater. At the end of his sound portrait, he talks about how he wishes there were a museum devoted to language, which he would call the word Smithsonian. And then he laughs.
What if there was a museum or an exhibit that was specifically designated to words, which I've coined the word Smithsonian? In this location, there could either be paintings of famous individual writers, there could be their books, or there could just be single words on display. Just one word in a glass case that you can go and look at. Pneumonia, hors d'oeuvres, subtle. Because all these words can be pronounced differently depending on who you are. And what does this word mean to me? How does this word affect me? Paintings 10 feet tall of Robert Frost, web spun from the words of W.E.B., words from a lady named Emily, booklets and envelopes of famous man's words that taught you of the walrus, the carpenter, the bird. I just sit and take it all in, listen to the walls of the word Smithsonian. What?
Why did you want to include sound portraits along with the visual portrait of all of these people?
Initially, it started out, it was going to be a series of paintings. because I was interested in the body language and what the clothes signified and what could you figure out about these young people just from what was represented in the window. But then as they sat and as we did the photo sketches and as we talked, I realized that they have really amazing stories and really interesting things to say. And so I thought, well, with this generation, we could have those stories as wall text, but that felt old-fashioned and dusty and inappropriate. And so we came up with the idea of creating a sound portrait that would be accessible by cell phone, because cell phone is one of the ways that they interface with each other and with the world. And that's not a new idea per se, but it was brand new for me. And it just adds a layer, a digital layer, in a way, to paintings that initially, when you see them, feel somewhat old world.
Let's talk about one more, one of the girls.
Okay. You choose.
Oh, that's so hard to choose. I want to choose the one next to your son.
All right. This is EJ, and EJ has very short hair. She has what she tells me is a faux hawk, which was new for me. And she has on a nice wrinkled men's white polo button-down shirt, and she has on, let's go a little closer, she has on her uncle's thin necktie, and she has a wonderful bracelet around her left hand, and you can see the hint of a tattoo on her arm. She's a really cool, strong young woman whose passions are her horses, and she's also now an advocate. When she was in college, she came out, and she was at a small college that was located in a community where she experienced some pretty awful homophobic experiences in the downtown. And so she talks about that in her sound portrait.
Coming out and then meeting the queer community is kind of like being reborn, if you will. Like, everybody who comes out of the closet has to relearn how to date, has to relearn how to navigate social situations, because it's very, very different. I identify as a soft butch genderqueer gay person who sleeps with women, dates women. So it's all very complicated.
At the moment, she dreams of becoming a professor of queer studies. And she also dreams of having a horse rehabilitation farm that would be useful for rehabilitating abused horses, but also be a place that young people could come to for therapeutic purposes.
Because he's right next to EJ, we have to talk about your son, because you can see so clearly in this portrait that he has his cell phone in his pocket.
He does. He has his cell phone in his pocket, and you will notice from the pose of his right hand that there is a possibility he might have been holding a cigarette.
And perhaps a pack of cigarettes in the other pocket.
And perhaps, although now we're saying it's a pack of cards, because he did have a cigarette in this painting, and he got so much grief about it. He came to me and said, I want you to take that cigarette out. And maybe I'm revealing too much here, but it's a good story. I said, well, there's only one way that cigarette's going to come out of the painting, and that's if you quit. And he said, well, that'll never happen. But then he did. So I removed the cigarette.
That's probably the perk of being the mom and the painter.
I know. So unfortunately, he had a little connection.
Well, Kate, thank you very much, and best of luck with the exhibit.
Thank you very much.
Kate Gridley's exhibit, Passing Through, Portraits of Emerging Adults, is on display at the Southern Vermont Art Center in Manchester through October 21st. We have a link to her website at vpr.net.